In this podcast, I want to cover the simulation of a nuclear reactor in the classroom. In this one, you connect up a pencil lead to two electrodes, and you put it in a beaker of water and watch the temperature increase, and you tell the students that this is a nuclear fuel rod giving off some heat. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss for other science teachers things scientific. And now, firstly, I want to talk about the nature of a pencil lead. Yes, a pencil lead itself, this is, you've got your pencil. Now, the nature of a pencil lead itself, it is nominally graphite, but it's actually a composite of graphite and clay, fired graphite and clay. So you mix the graphite and clay ratio to give different hardnesses of pencils. Now, if you mix graphite and clay together, you get a fairly good resistor. So if you did have a pure graphite piece of pencil, the chances are that if you hooked it up to a school power supply on one end and ran a current through it, the graphite itself would be such a good conductor. So graphite by itself is a very good conductor, but pencil leads are slightly different. One of the things is you have to extract this pencil lead out. Now, there is one way of doing it, which is sharpening a pencil two ends and hooking wires up to each other and heating and running a current through it. This will heat up, but this will produce a lot of toxic fumes as the resin and the actual match itself burn. So that really has to be done in the school fume hood or separately. There's other mechanical ways of just... Oh, there's a frog making a noise over here, out here in Australia. There's other mechanical ways of doing it. So you essentially provide the people or the students with these pencil leads. Now, without the cooling around the outside, these pencil leads, if you heat them up, will grow from red hot to white hot, very high temperature. So there is obviously a danger with students and that very high temperature pencil lead. So you have to ensure that this is done safely. Also, the heat from the pencil lead, if you've got wires, will go into the wires, if it's copper wires, and melt the actual installation. So you've got to think about how you're going to do that. You might actually hold it with the pencil lids. So not pencil lids, where paper clips is a way of holding it with paper clips to make it a bit more robust. Now, the issue here is that you want to get a thermometer, a small amount of water, and put power into your nominal fuel rod. And so there's an idea here that this rod, fuel rod, nuclear reactor rod, is producing energy. And you can explain how if you put two fuel rods next to each other, the waste neutrons from one fuel rod will spark up the other one. So you can sort of explain that. Let's say within your simulation that you are simulating the energy out of a fuel rod with the necessary cooling. So you can see, you can sort of explain that in the air without cooling, the fuel rods get very hot. That's a very good way of showing it. So you put it in the water and you have people measuring the heat out of your full fuel rod, the rise in water temperature. Now, here's sort of the surprising thing, is that water will ingress into your pencil lead. Not all of them, a good fraction of them, water will ingress into your pencil lead, increase the local resistance, increase the heat, and cause a small little steam explosion, a little crack, and cause your pencil lead to shatter, or just break inside the water. It's all It's all very safe. There's no major explosion. It's just a small pop of steam and your pencil lead breaking. And this is really sort of a surprising outcome in this particular lesson, in terms of that they're all thinking about nuclear engineering and rods, and this actual demonstration caused the rods to crack and explode. So there's a lot of fuel for thought about safety, energy, what's going on, and why you need cooling, and the actual design. And of course, fuel rods are very strongly designed not to do this, but they can obviously get a gas buildup. And I'll just talk about a few points. So particularly in fuel rods, part of the radiation product through the fission of uranium is the generation of xenon, and xenon is a massive neutron poison. So as the nuclear reaction takes off, it actually self-limits itself for a short while by the production of this xenon gas. And so you can be fooled when a reaction is about really taking off. You can be fooled that the actual reaction is not going as hard as it can as it produces its initial xenon gas. I think it's xenon-125. And this actually slows the reaction. Of course, when this xenon continues, you don't have other neutron poisons in there to slow down your reaction, that they might not be in place, and then you get a sudden runaway reaction. And that in part is what happened in Chernobyl. Or another aspect, maybe talking about graphite and stuff like that. Graphite is very important in the nuclear industry, in that they cover, the US in particular, tend to have, rather than fuel rods, fuel balls. These are rather convenient because you can just basically drain them in or pour them into a reactor to see what they go. And the fuel balls are covered with isotropic pyrolytic carbon. Now, this is a sort of very interesting idea. You can actually get soot to form as snowflakes of graphite, and in the right conditions, they'll form in the gas, they'll start to crystal like snowflakes, but of graphite. And this graphite snow field will fall onto your fuel ball, which is spinning around. And this graphite obviously is very sticky to each other, and it sticks and forms sort of a diamond like hard impervious super layer around your fuel balls. I think it's just very interesting. This layer is good for several million years. It's a really good solid layer. Your isotropic pyrolytic means laid down by fire. Isotropic means it's no particular orientation. It's sort of like a snowflake, snow falling down. But it's snow which is attracted to each other, so it forms a really hard layer. And so I suppose your one aspect of the lesson you're showing that you've got to be very suspicious of graphite and clay, but in the actual wash-up, it's actually a very good part of the industry to use. So that's all I have to say for tonight on this. I'm halfway through my cardiac walk, so thanks for listening. I'll try and get a few more interesting tidbits of science to discuss. Bye for now.